When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Matcha.
I love matcha. So rich and smooth.
Do you love matcha love?
Yep. Matcha love is the best in the biz.
Experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf.
So many powerful health benefits.
You know what else I love? Sweet treats.
You are in luck. Matcha's great for baking.
Can you make cookies or cheesecake with matcha?
Yes. Or your other favorites, ice cream or madeleines.
Yes. Delicious.
Matcha love.
Get 25% off all matcha love products on itoin.com. Using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Elizabeth Dutton, you know what's ridiculous?
Oh, yeah, totally. Did you know that when you breed a cow and a bison, it's called a beefalo?
I'd heard that. I didn't think that that was true.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
A beefalo. Ligers and tigons and beefalo. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. All right. Well, you know what's also ridiculous?
What?
PCP.
Oh, yes.
PCP is absolutely ridiculous. It's 100% ridiculous. It is possibly the most ridiculous drug there is, but it has the best drug nickname ever, Angel Dust.
That is.
I mean, is that not just the best drug ever? Like, I want to do Angel Dust. When I was a kid, I was like, I want to do Angel Dust, mommy.
It sounds like something that you'd sprinkle on a Hallmark Precious Moments figurine. Like... And it comes with angel dust.
Now with angel dust.
Da, 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 da. For like your little Christmas display. Exactly. And then you just do a line of it.
Rail it up. Do you remember hearing about PCP when we were children?
Yeah.
It was like often mentioned drug. I mean, like nothing like it is now. Like it actually was one of the top five drugs kids did.
Totally.
And
totally.
Do you remember the stories or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. There were always stories about people having like superhuman strength, like running through brick walls or something. Yes. And like
before crack, it was the drug of like the like urban superhero.
Yeah. Well, my brother used to have this thing. Anytime he'd see a trampoline, he'd jump on it and like fall flat back and then pop back up. And he called himself PCP man. And like, but the thing is what I found with DARE and all those sort of things, some of the ways that they educated you made things sound kind of appealing.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible. It was a reverse advertising. It was
right.
Like, don't do this. I want to do that.
Yeah. And so they would talk about PCP and like someone like me, would get terrified. Like if I did that, then I would think I could jump off a building. But then other people would be like, I could jump off a building, you know, like you see it's very alluring.
Yeah. If I ever wanted to race a car in the freeway traffic, I could do it on PCP.
Totally. So, we had a teacher like in fourth grade during DARE who every week would tell us about a different kind of drug. Mm-hmm. And they were always just, oh, it's so bad. But then when we got to stimulants like cocaine that week with the handouts, mm-hmm. he only told us the good things in his mind. Like you can study for super long and it makes you feel just like up and you can do all this stuff. You can like get all this work done. And
did he mention Freud? It's like really important to the advancement of...
And we were just like, this kind of sounds kind of good. And so I remember I went home and I was like, Mom, you know, like, do you do coke? She's just like, wait, I'm sorry, what? I'm just kidding. And so I explained, I was like, well, apparently like you can like study for hours and get all this stuff done. And she's like, well, no, not really. And she's trying to like gently explain to her whatever I was, 8-year-old, 9-year-old mm-hmm. daughter. And then the teacher, we had a substitute like after that for the rest of the school year. It was like towards the end of the year. Apparently some other kids went home and ratted out the mm-hmm. teacher. And
they got more than one call to the school.
Yeah. Like, no, don't tell them that this is the best thing for overachiever kids. So
before Adderall, there was the cocaine from DARE.
Exactly. Or like when you're in DARE and they make you like, this is what it looks like. This is what marijuana looks like. Mm-hmm. And there's always a kid in class who's like the clown who smells it and goes, Daddy.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the like briefcase like with the clear?
Yeah.
I was like, no, that's not what that looks like.
I'd like calculate the street value. If I stole that suitcase, I could turn that around.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous. All right, we all know Rick James famously said, cocaine is a hell of a drug. Now, PCP is a way crazier hell of a drug, mm-hmm. especially, you know, in the hands of somebody who doesn't know that they are going to be on PCP.
Oh, like yes. If they're dusted, as they say.
They got angel dusted. But did you ever learn anything about the science of it? Like anything, like did they ever tell you like why PCP is what it is? It's one of the rare drugs that you don't really hear, at least I didn't hear about this. Like you hear about cocaine and how it works. I hear about like the amphetamines, how they work, how it works. I never heard about how PCP works.
We were told that it comes from when two Hallmark Precious Moments figurines love each other.
So much.
So much. And then what comes out is angel dust. For all the children.
Oh, Catholic schools. So I had to look it up, and PCP is derived from a compound called 1-phenylcyclohexylpiperidine.
If you say so.
Yes. 1-phenylcyclohexylpiperidine. And that compound is derived from aryl cyclohexylamine piperidine.
Those sound like really good Red Hot Chili Peppers lyrics.
Totally. I'm going to tell Ketus.
Yeah.
Next time I get a card from him, I'll just be like, exactly. Hey, I got some lyrics for you, bro. So ketamine is a real close cousin of PCP. It's a aryl cyclohexylamine derivative, just like PCP. Now, both drugs were originally used as large animal tranquilizers for horses, pigs, and elephants, which I didn't know. Now, this is also why the two drugs behave so similarly in humans. They basically produce this hallucinogenic, euphoric quality at a certain amount. If you get above that, you get into an aesthetic amount. And then you can get into an aesthetic amount that actually removes consciousness.
All of these sound like great options.
Right? Exactly. So what happens is that basically there's that response, but then there's another response in the body that is entirely separate, that is basically where you get that superhero quality, and that's the analgesic, which means you can't feel pain, mm-hmm. but it also gives you this psychotic ideation. So you can't feel pain and you're like, what if I can fly though?
That's a great combo.
Exactly. What if I can chase this truck? So you know, we have this moment, you know, where PCP was really popular. And like, I don't think people understand like how popular I mean. In 1979, quote, 12.8% of 12th graders had used PCP. Whereas in 1997, only 3.9% had used this same drug. Hmm. Now that's, yeah.
DARE worked, apparently?
Apparently. Now that same number is less than 1%. So it gets very difficult to find people who are still doing PCP. And partially is because pot got so good.
Yeah.
So people are like, I don't need the hallucinogenic effects of a street drug if I can get it from smoking pot. So it kind of fell
out of
favor.
I don't need to fight a freight train. I can just mellow out.
Also, there was the whole the psychotic ideation. That was the real downside. Whereas ketamine doesn't do that. You just fall into a K-hole. So people they spiral into themselves. They may have a bad trip, but they don't go out and try to lift the house up and throw it at somebody. So the one last thing about PCP before we get into the story that I want you to understand is PCP, once you ingest it, it acts really strangely in the body because it can last for 7 hours or for 7 days.
Or 7 years.
You don't know how long it's going to last because it gets stored in the adipose tissue and like the fat of the body, it just sits in there and it gets released unevenly. So depending on your metabolic processes, you can suddenly have a burst of it and then maybe it's 2 days after you actually did it. And now instead of just having acid flashbacks, you're having a full-on PCP psychotic episode, like just in the middle of your morning meeting.
So your little tummy's a flavor saver.
Exactly. Now, the high of PCP is also kind of crazy because it affects a ton of aspects of the body all at once. So it affects the neocortex, the hippocampus, the basal ganglia, and your limbic system, which is in charge of like basically all your smooth muscle, breathing, digestion, a bunch of things that are not voluntarily controlled.
Okay.
The involuntary muscle systems, right? Mm-hmm. So it means you can, that's why people can stop breathing and basically die from heroin is because it has convinced the limbic system to stop breathing.
Yeah.
So PCP does the opposite. It causes you to have tachycardia, which is a rapid heartbeat. It causes you to have violent behavior. It causes your eyes to circle or to go backwards and forwards or up and down.
Like in spirals?
Yeah, like a literal rhythmic pattern. So you can either spiral or you can go skipping your eyes are skipping like a TV between stations in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there's also hypertension for high blood pressure. You get also the analgesia, so you can't feel pain.
Angina,
so your heart's gout. Just like, come on, man.
You get gout from it.
Now, also, the other last thing about PCP is it's one of the few drugs that will kill you, but it's not from the drug itself. It doesn't give you a heart attack. You don't overdose. You die from taking the drug and doing dumb stuff.
Oh, okay.
It literally is the drug that causes you to die from not an overdose.
Can you overdose on PCP?
You can. Yeah, you definitely can.
I mean, you could probably overdose on
anything. But usually people
lose
consciousness, whereas if they're going to die, what happens is because you kept consciousness.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
So now they call it the emergence reaction when the PCP comes back up days later. Mm-hmm. And this can happen as sometimes weeks later, right? So keep that in mind as we dip into the story of Walter Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you ever seen a drug trip go bad?
Yeah.
Like how bad was it?
All right. You're from Davis. I went to UC Davis.
Yes, I am. Represent.
Yes. And there's an event every year called Picnic Day.
Oh, yes.
And one year it fell on April 20th.
Oh, yes. I think I know the year you're talking about.
And it was a dumpster fire of amazingness. And there was a lot of ingestion of the marijuana products.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't imagine that people would have bad. I mean, I've seen people lose it on other things. But someone made a big batch of these brownies and, I'll say at that time I was totally straight edge. I didn't drink. I didn't do any drugs. And I also owned a really badass Ford Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
And so I became the de facto designated driver for everyone when they get too messed up. So I get this call from my roommates and they're like, you got to help us. And someone was hiding in a bush and wouldn't come out. And then someone else was lost and someone else was in a tree. And I just wound up driving all over Davis, going to different locations and coaxing people out of wooded areas.
Pot brownie casualties.
Yeah, and then just tending to everyone at home. And it was, so I've seen that. But I suppose I've also seen really terrifying ones, where people.
I've seen my friend Arthur did a acid trip And apparently he got like a bubble of strychnine or whatever in his acid because he couldn't stop shaking. He was like violently shaking and convulsing. It was so bad we had to call an ambulance, but we're all on acid. So we decide we're going to come up with a plan so none of us can be connected to him. So we put him like in this one room downstairs in the dorms, and then we all act like we stumbled upon him. So we walk in, hey man, are you okay? Trying to act like we don't know this guy. So a bunch of people on acid doing a little play
doing like an improv.
Innocence, yes. And then like I remember the ambulance pulls up, they back up, they take Arthur out, and he's still like violently shaking and terrified. And then right when they got him on the gurney, right when they're wheeling him into the ambulance, the doors are still open to the ambulance. He pops up, looks at us from the gurney. He goes, yeah! And then falls back and the doors close and he drives away. We're like, okay, Arthur.
Yeah. Good
so time, that is nothing compared to what you're about to hear.
Oh.
Matcha.
I love matcha. So rich and smooth.
Do you love matcha love?
Yep. Matcha love is the best in the biz.
Experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf.
So many powerful health benefits.
You know what else I love? Sweet treats.
You are in luck. Matcha's great for baking.
Can you make cookies or cheesecake with matcha?
Yes. Or your other favorites, ice cream or madeleines.
Yes. Delicious.
Matcha love.
Get 25% off all matcha love products on itoin.com. Using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Okay, now the day is August 1st, 1981. Now, that day may sound familiar. Do you know why that day sounds familiar?
No.
It's the day that MTV started broadcasting for the very first time.
Oh, right.
With the words, ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll, MTV hit the air. Do you remember the first music video?
Of course I do.
What was the first music video?
Video Killed the Radio Star.
All right, now Double Down, Double Your Jeopardy. Can you name the second music video?
No.
I would have never guessed this. I had to look it up.
Oh.
It was Pat Benatar's You Better Run.
I don't even know what song that is.
I don't either.
So. I just keep, like, when he, You Better Run, wasn't that like a, There's some metal song. And then there's that, there's a Swingin' Utters punk song line of, never mind. I'm thinking of a lot of different versions of You Better Run.
Yeah, Iron Maiden's Run for the Hills.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
So they have the You Better Run. We'll just call that, even though neither one of us know the song, that's our theme song for today.
You better run, da-da-da-da-da-dun, or get stepped on. I'm going to just sing you Swingin' Utters songs all day.
Now, for this story of Walter Scott, I'm going to occasionally quote from the legal brief that analyzed the appeal case that resulted from the charges brought against Walter Scott, which you can find on law.justia.com.
Oh, I'll go over there right now.
Okay. Now, to start off, quote, on the evening of August 1st, 1981, defendant Walter Scott, accompanied by his brother Charles Scott, attended a family reunion-type party. The brother noticed a large punch bowl filled with red punch and saw the punch bowl refilled several times during the course of the party. He also observed the defendant drinking some of the punch. At some point in the evening, the supply of ice ran low, and the brother volunteered to go to the store to get more. When he left, everyone, including the defendant, appeared to be behaving normally. However, when he returned, the brother noticed that the behavior of the party guest had changed dramatically. Boom. So someone at this 1981 family reunion backyard party thought it would be funny to spike the punch. Like, what if I roofied my whole family? Oh. Like, can you imagine being at a party and going, PCP is the answer? Like, I'm at a family.
I used to think about that when we would have faculty meetings when I was at like college. Meeting,
need some PCP.
I was an English instructor at a college. And no, I mean, they would always have these big things of sweet tea. And I'd wonder, like, well, it's a huge vat of it. What if someone just put a tiny little drop of acid in there?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen?
Yeah, with acid, you'd need a not a ton, but yeah, I mean, just a vial full of liquid.
Micro-dosing an entire room of faculty.
Yeah. My friend wants to put magic mushrooms on my mushroom pizza.
Oh.
I was at his place. We're talking. I didn't know it. He put like a ton. I ate like two slices. Like 45 minutes later, I'm starting to get off and he just started to chuckle and I put it together. I'm like, you mother. Yep.
Oh, no.
That was fun. I'm just shrooming by myself in my friend's house.
That's scary. Like, mine was a thought exercise in boredom in a faculty meeting.
Yeah, no.
I would never do that. It really is terrifying to me to be like, given a substance without my knowledge. Were you scared when you...
You don't get scared. Yeah, I'm a little bit wild about that. Like, fear isn't really the thing for me unless it's like a snake. If you show me a snake, you'll see all kinds of fear you've never seen in a human. Other than that, you give me like drugs, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, this will pass. You know, yeah. It's not great. I'm not digging it, but this will pass. I knew like it would be fine. I'd taken plenty of psychedelics at that point. I was a little, not pissed, but I was like, oh, I'm going to get you back. Oh, yeah. I am so going to get you back.
Did you?
I poured 5 gallons of white paint inside of his truck.
Well, even Stevens.
Yeah, right. So then he climbed up on a roof and threw 5 gallons of paint on top of me. So we kept that going.
I feel like this is still going back and forth to this day.
Yes, it kind of is. Anyway, getting back to our party with Walter Scott, backyard family reunion, right? Now he's sitting there hanging out. The brother comes back to the party and he sees just chaos, right? So going from the legal documents, quote, one man pointing to the floor stated there was a dog in the room. He's not in a room. He's in a backyard. Several people holding glasses of punch to their hands were vomiting. Another party guest, Eleanor Michelle Sutton, testifies in Walter Scott's appellate case. And she says, quote, after she arrived, she did not notice anything unusual. She did notice a punch bowl on a table and observed a woman refilling the bowl with punch. Approximately 15 or 20 minutes after the bowl was refilled, Sutton observed that some of the people that were dancing were falling on the floor and a few were throwing up.
Oh, you know.
You know, just, you know, the kind of party.
Family fun day.
She's like, I'm not going to have any of the drink, thank you. So Eleanor Sutton, she spots Walter Scott at this party, right? And she's like, what's up with him? Now, from the appellate case, quote, she noticed defendant, whom she had never met before, with a cup of punch in his hand, talking about the Bible and stating that the world was coming to an end.
That sounds like a fun family party.
Totally. I mean, like, I think I've been to this party. So she's like, this is not the party I thought I was coming to. And she's like, when can I leave? Now, the brother has just arrived back and he's like taking in this same exact scene. So he's like, oh, man, I got to find my brother. This is not cool. Right. So he's like looking around. He finds Walter Scott over there, you know, drinking punch, talking about how the world's going to end. And like, have you read the Bible? And he's like, oh, man. So he's like, and he goes over to his brother and he's like stunned to see that his brother's eyes are doing that swirly thing. And he's like, oh no. And but he's familiar with PCP. right? Mm-hmm. He's like...
Is he now?
Well, you know, he'd taken actually a drug training class, apparently. So it wasn't that
DARE. He did DARE.
He'd taken DARE. He was a DARE graduate.
He dared to say no.
So Walter Scott is beginning to see what I can only describe as a personal nightmare. From mm-hmm. his appellate case, we know that, quote, at some point during the party, he began to see intense colors and heard helicopters and loud sirens. He stated that his body was clumsy and he was sweating, had difficulty talking, and felt as if his heart was beating rapidly.
That's like me on an afternoon.
It's like Tuesday, right? Yeah. So you hear the tachycardia, you hear some of the effects, the eyes are spinning. You're starting to know, because you know what the signs of PCP are now.
Yeah.
Boom, this guy's definitely got a PCP intoxication event going on, and it's happening badly. So his brother knows, like you, this is not good. Something deeply wrong is occurring. And he's like, I need to get you out of here. Screw this backyard family reunion. We're going home. So he takes his brother, grabs him by the hand, and leads him to the car. So
did he flip his hair out of the way?
So he puts on his sunglasses.
Later.
Come on, we're out of here, bro. So they go and they hit the car. And that's when things start to really get sideways.
More?
This is just the beginning. So as we know from the appellate case, quote, on the way home, defendant told his brother he could see a big fireball in the sky and that he could see the brother and his in-laws in the flames.
Mm.
The defendant described it as hell. And he stated either that they were trying to pull him in there or he was trying to pull them out.
Oh.
So he's got like a whole like ontological, theological hell fight going on with all of his family after leaving this party.
This is such a good insight into his psyche.
Wait. This is just the beginning. So he at this point decides, well, you know what? Maybe I should just fly home. So
I'm cool. No, you guys go ahead and drive. I mean,
there's a fireball. You guys are trying to pull me into hell. I'm just going
to
fly home.
To beyond. And then he like...
So, quote, at some point during the ride home, defendant stuck his head out of the car window and stated that he felt good enough to fly home. He tries to crawl out of the window of the moving car and flap his happy ass home, right? So, but his brother knows what's up. He's like, man, this is angel dust. I know what's up. So
he's like, I'm from the streets, you guys.
I'm from LA.
He's been dusted.
He's definitely been sideways dusted by the angels.
Everybody get your figurines.
So he tells his brother he gets him home safely. Doesn't jump out of the car. And he's like, okay, let's just get you to bed. Gets into bed. He wakes up the next morning. He feels better. Boom. You see? Nothing to be afraid of. This is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
But there was something to be afraid of. While he feels better, he calls his brother and he's like, yo, man, I feel like I'm back to normal. Things should be cool. And he's like, you know, it's just whatever happened the night before. So he goes, it's a Sunday morning. He goes to church. He goes with his family and he's thinking everything's cool.
He's going to pray about what he's done.
Oh yeah. He's going to get right with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, remember he's like, look, I almost got dragged into hell yesterday.
That's right.
I had to make it to church to get right.
He's like, Jesus, we got to talk.
You need to have a real come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Come and stay. But so Monday rolls around. Now he's got to go to work, right? So when he wakes up, he's feeling a little queasy, a little sick. He takes his kids to school and then he comes home and he's got to take his mother-in-law to go buy glass to replace for some broken glass at her house, right?
She's because like, there's been a major PCP party at the house.
Exactly. And all this glass was broken.
So yeah, because it's like, not just him. There are the people puking all over the place.
And seeing invisible dogs. Yeah,
people are like punching the walls and screaming at
trying to dance on the wall.
Yeah.
So he goes with his mother-in-law. They pick up the glass panels. And while he's there, the counter checker person, their face starts morphing. He's like, that's not right. So later on, Walter Scott says, it looked like he was from Mars. It freaks him out so much, he runs out of the store. He can't handle it. He runs back into the parking lot, and he's sitting there by his car. His mother-in-law like comes out like, hon, what's going on? Is everything okay?
I can't go back in the Woolsworth.
Exactly. You don't know what's going in there. So while he's standing outside in the parking lot, and his mother-in-law walks out to him, meanwhile, he's watching what he believes is his own funeral procession go by. He's just like, doo-doo-doo, my funeral looks nice. I wish there was more flowers. I mean, he's just sitting there watching car after car, and he's convinced that he's dead, right? Now, after he watches his own funeral, his mother-in-law comes out and joins him. She's like, do you want to go home? He's like, yeah, let's go home. So they get in the car, and he starts speeding. He gets on the freeway, and he's gunning it, right? She's like, is everything okay? And he's checking the skies like it's like, you know, Goodfellas, right? He's convinced that nothing is going right for him. He gets to his mother-in-law's house and just drives right past. He's like, whoom. She's like, that was my house. He's like, no, I need to go to Bakersfield.
Well,
she's
then like, that makes perfect sense because that'll take care of everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I need to go to Bakersfield. That's where things are made right. Everybody knows this
Everybody
in California.
Knows
if you want to fix something, you need to go to Bakersfield. She's like, well, you know what? I need to go talk to my mom. And so he heads off to Bakersfield with his mother-in-law in the car to go find his mom. And this is like, you know, bad enough, but he's racing down the freeway and he goes through this weird personality change. So he starts talking to his mother-in-law, starts calling her baby. He's like, look, baby, we need to get to Bakersfield. See, because I need to talk to my mom. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? Why are you calling me baby? Stop calling me baby.
Did he gently caress her face while he's like, oh, baby.
This is new, baby. See, we need to get on the run.
He just suddenly turns smooth.
Suddenly, the Colt 45 just rolled through.
I'm going to romance this entire family. You're next, baby.
So he tells her, he's like, look, baby, quote, the CIA is after me, and they're following me in an airplane.
Why is
I'm
it
a
so
secret
funny?
Agent.
Why is it so funny to call someone baby?
So he's like, you have to picture this scene. He's in the car speeding. His eyes are wild. He's sweating profusely. And he's calling his mother-in-law baby while staring at the sky and going, we got to get to Bakersfield.
This is a great story, baby.
Yeah, exactly. So as they're going along, they're weaving through traffic. They're, you know, he's changing lanes. He's running past people as fast as he can in the car. Eventually, he's like just pushing it to the edge of the car. The car overheats. So he has to pull over. And he's like,
just redlines the car.
He completely redlines the car. So the car overheats. He pulls over to the side of the freeway. And then what does he do? He jumps out.
That's a metaphor for him.
He just starts running. He leaves his mother-in-law in the overheated car. And he's like, I'm out of here. I got to go deal with the president. And so he runs for an off-ramp for the freeway. And right? His mother-in-law loses sight of him. She's like, well, I hope he finds the president. And at the top of this off-ramp, there's a Shell gas station. He's like, okay, that'll be my answer. There's cars in there. So he runs to the Shell gas station. He sees a 13-year-old boy, a little kid named Robert Briggs. Little Bobby Briggs sitting on his motorbike.
Bobby.
And it's a Sunday. He's going to go riding in Riverside County, right? Walter Scott runs up to him and goes, hey, I need your motorbike, kid. And the kid's like, yo, man, what are you talking about? This crazy-eyed, sweaty, wild adult is yelling, I need your motorbike. He's like, look, man, see, I need your motorbike because I am a secret agent. I'm working for the CIA, and I got to get to the Washington to save the president. Kid's like, nah, I'm over it. So,
good job, Robert.
Yeah, right? He's like demanding it. So what does he do? He shoves the kid off the bike.
Oh.
He's just like, I need the bike, kid. You don't understand. So he requisitions the kid's vehicle, but he can't, as he's trying to make his getaway, he can't because he doesn't know how the motorbike starts. So he picks the kid up. He's like, how do I start your bike, kid? And the kid's like, I ain't telling you, old man. So there he is in a Shell gas station in Riverside County, and he's sitting there right near the Highway 91, and he needs this motorbike. Of course, other adults start coming over.
Yeah.
Now we're going to take a little pause, and I will be right back, and I'll tell you how this story comes to an even crazier, wilder end.
I need the pause. I need to process all of this.
Matcha.
So good.
Matcha Love.
Yes, I love it.
No, Matcha Love, the brand.
Oh, yeah. Matcha Love, made with real Japanese matcha.
It's rich, smooth, perfect for hot or cold brewing.
Matcha's great because it's rich in vitamin C and EGCGs.
What do you like to make with it? I like to make matcha lattes.
I'm all about making smoothies.
Why wouldn't you be?
Get 25% off all Matcha Love products at itouin.com using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itouin.com. Available on Amazon and itouin.com.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle.
So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, for product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
All right, so we are at a Shell gas station with our PCP secret super spy who's just shoved a 13-year-old boy off of his motorbike because he needs to get to Washington to save the president. So a bunch of adults are like, this is not cool, man. You can't be shoving 13-year-old kids around. This one dude, Doug Bushland, he's behind the wheel of his pickup truck and he's approaching the gas station. He sees Walter Scott shove the kid off the motorbike and he's like, well, that ain't right. So he pulls in. He's like, I'm going to, like, you know, teach that man what's what. And he gets out and Walter Scott sees him pull into the gas station and runs at him. He's like, wait, what? And so Walter Scott runs up to him and goes, hey, man, I'm from the FBI and the CIA. I need your car.
Oh, both the FBI and the CIA.
Yeah, he's from both. He works domestically, internationally, whatever you need.
So, he works the double shift.
Now, Bushland seems like a little of a good guy. He allows Walter Scott to hop in the back of his truck, in the bed.
Wait, in the bed of the
bed.
Truck?
He's in the pickup bed. He goes, go. He's pounding on the car like, go, let's go.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, so they take off. And Bushland, you know, good guy. He drives off and he takes him to, I assume where he is going. He takes him to the Magnolia Lumberyard.
He's like, I got to run a couple errands. Yeah. He's totally like driving me. The speed limit, using his signal.
Exactly. Driving Miss Crazy.
I like this guy. Driving Miss Crazy.
According to the appellate case, Bushland, quote, Bushland testified the defendant seemed kind of crazy and appeared restless and hyperactive. He also appeared frightened and stated in a loud voice that the president of the United States and he had fallen out of an airplane.
Oh, wait, this is a new wrinkle in this.
Because he's now letting people know the fuller story. It's not that he has to save the president. He was with the president.
I tried to get a motorbike. Mm-hmm. Don't know how to use one. I've been riding in the back of a pickup truck. P.S. The president and I fell out of a plane together.
Yes, exactly. Somewhere in this general area of Riverside County.
Where's the president?
So, well, this is interesting. Now, at the same time at Magnolia Lumberyard, there's a dude named Christopher Bell. He works there as a forklift operator. He sees Bushland's pickup truck pull into the yard with this wild-eyed man pounding on the top going, go, go, need to go. So they pull in and the guy's like, he says he's yelling about how he fell out of an airplane. He's a member of the CIA and the FBI. Apparently, he's just like repeating himself, shouting until somebody will understand. Now, from the appellate case, quote, Bell observed defendant banging on the side of the truck, stating that he was with the secret police and he wanted to get inside the truck. So then Walter Scott hops out of the back of the truck and runs over to Bell. And as he approaches, he points at the freeway and yells that the president is passing by. Bell shuts off the forklift, takes the keys, and climbs down. He's like, I'm out of here, man.
Yeah,
I don't get paid enough for this.
Totally.
So Walter Scott then does what Walter Scott does. Quote, defendant then jumped on top of the forklift and tried to start it, declaring that he needed the forklift for police business. Bell removed the keys from the ignition and told the defendant he could use the telephone inside and call the police.
Bell's a G, dude. Yeah.
Walter Scott agrees. He's like, okay, I'm going to come inside. I'm going to call the police
Bell's
on myself.
Like, Bell's like, you're not forklift certified.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to need to see the certifications.
Yeah. And so until I get that done, you're just going to have to, I'll let you use our telephone.
You're just one walking OSHA violation, sir. So then we go on. According to the appellate case, quote, once inside the building, defendant called information in an attempt to get in touch with Washington, D.C., stating that he was, quote, John Shaft and that he was from the CIA.
Wait, he called information?
Yes, he's like, I'm John Shaft. I'm from the CIA. I am a black man with an afro that is resplendent and I need the president.
That's, you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous, right? So after that, when that doesn't work, and information's like, sir, I can't do that. Quote, the defendant hung up and redialed the operator. This time he asked for the police and stated that they were trying to kill the president. He stated either that he or the president had fallen out of an airplane. So apparently he's just telling everybody this at this point.
Well, it happened.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm guessing the operator didn't really take John Schaff too seriously. So, quote, defendant then hung up the phone, ran out of the building, jumped onto a nearby truck, and tried to start it. The truck's owner, Cecil Entman, followed close behind. Entman's stepson was sitting in the passenger seat when the defendant jumped inside, closed the door, and asked, how do you start this vehicle?
This guy doesn't know how to start any vehicle.
He's just running around. How did this work? The defendant then announced in a loud voice, I'm with the CIA, and I need to use the car. So the kid, the stepson, totally unimpressed, like the 13-year-old Bobby Briggs.
There are so many cool customers in Riverside County. We just got like some guy losing it. And they're just all whatevs. Get out of the crazier. Truck. Yeah, totally.
Go back to San Diego. So the boy's stepfather, owner of the truck, Cecil Lenneman, he confronts Walter Scott and they're like, get the hell out of my car, right? Walter Scott obliges because, you know, this is a good American citizen. These are the people he protects. So he runs back into the lumber yard. Quote, defendant then telephoned his mother stating, I don't know where I'm at, but tell somebody to come get me. He then asked
that's the best call to get. Right? I don't know where I am, but tell someone to come get me.
Every mother wants to hear that.
I'll get right on it.
So, quote, he then asked the owner of the lumberyard to call the police. Defendant asked for everyone's names and addresses, indicating that he needed them for his final report.
Very meticulous.
Yes. At this point, pretty much everyone in the lumberyard knows that this dude is out of his gazebo.
You think?
They're like, well, let's just let him go and do whatever he needs. Eventually, Officer Dennis Wenzel arrives on the scene at Magnolia Lumber, and it's not hard for him to find Walter Scott. He's the one running around with the crazy eyes going, I'm with the FBI! I'm with the CIA! How do I start this car?
Did he have clothes on?
He did have clothes on. So, quote, Wenzel handcuffs the defendant and places him in the squad car. While in the squad car, defendant screamed that he was innocent, that he was a CIA agent and had credentials. At some point, defendant began thrusting his feet against the car door. Wenzel eventually placed additional restraints on him. Defendant repeatedly demanded that he be released immediately. He continued to scream for about 45 minutes. However, he later appeared quite calm at the booking interview.
I like when people demand to be released immediately. Yeah. Has that ever worked?
No.
Unhand me. No. Let me out. Our bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. We totally made a mistake there, bro.
I'm so sorry.
We didn't recognize.
Do you need help finding the president?
Come on. Get a plane that you won't fall out of.
I just needed you to scream that about 12, 13 times in my face before it really sunk in. I'm so sorry.
So Walter Scott eventually gets charged for crimes. So what crimes do you think he gets charged with?
Resisting arrest. And that's it.
No. Attempted robbery, 2 counts of attempted unlawful driving or taking of a vehicle.
And a count of inability to start a vehicle.
Yes, completely. He reasons that he is, you know, obviously insane. So he says, look, I plead not guilty by reason of insanity to all the charges. He then decides to waive his right to a jury trial and to take a chance on a judge being able to understand. He has one stipulation. He has an agreement that the issue of his guilt be weighed against, you know, the eyewitness testimony and everybody who saw him. Because if you hear his story, it may sound like he was just stealing cars. But if you saw him, you could understand he was a terrified animal trying to survive.
Yeah.
And he wants that to be made clear for the judge.
Sure.
Fortunately, under California law, Walter Scott was found guilty and convicted on 2 counts of attempted unlawful driving or taking of a vehicle.
Wah, wah.
So then he takes his case to the Court of Appeals, which I've been reading from. And that was the 4th Appellate District. And on August 3rd, 1983, in the case of the People versus Walter Stephen Scott, it gets relitigated and the proceedings were quoted earlier. Now, we do know that from justia.com, that quote, the evidence establishes the defendant unknowingly and therefore involuntarily ingested some kind of hallucinogen which caused him to act in a bizarre and irrational manner, and that acting under the delusion that he was a secret agent and that he was acting to save his own life or possibly that of the president, defendant attempted to, quote, take vehicles belonging to others without their consent. The only question is whether or not a crime has been committed. So what's your call, crime or no crime?
I think, you know, he was the victim of basically, like, wouldn't you say, like, an assault, right?
Yeah. Where he's chemical, like, assault.
Yeah. And so this is just, I just keep thinking how terrifying this must have been.
Oh, completely.
For him.
He's in hell at one point.
Not just
he watches,
like,
his own funeral.
Yeah. Not just the people whose vehicles he tried to commandeer. That was terrifying. But yeah, he sees his own funeral. He's going, I think it's such an interesting insight into his psyche that he doesn't go out and have delusions in which he's hurting people. He's trying to save all these people. Mm-hmm. And he sees himself as this, like, agent of good.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I get the feeling he watches a lot of, like, really crazy action films.
Yes.
Because totally. It's like, you know, it's like, that's what's at the forefront of his mind is these adventure things of, like, running on freeways and commandeering vehicles and you know, jumping out of a plane with the president.
I love it personally. I'm almost kind of envious. Like, I would love to have the excuse to do
this. How could you find him guilty? Spree. Because it's, you know, I think he was the one who really suffered. Who was it who dosed everybody?
They don't know. That's not made evident in the appellate case or any of the stuff that I read.
It's the mother-in-law.
So some family member. Apparently the woman who was refilling, maybe. I don't
mother-in-law.
Know. Mother-in-law. Mother-in-law, yeah. So the court decides, quote, under the circumstances, we believe not. We believe not meaning not committed a crime. So okay. The court cites subdivision 3 of the Penal Code, section 26. It determines which persons are capable or incapable of committing a crime under the law. And I didn't know that some people are considered incapable of committing a crime.
I am. I have that waiver. They issued a document and it's just a blanket thing. I carry it with me. They're like, she can't commit a crime. I'm like, see, give me the car.
That I'm pretty sure that was the thing you wrote in crayon saying diplomatic immunity everywhere.
Yeah, you've seen it.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
I laminated
it. I meant to tell you that. I talked to a lawyer.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bad news.
All right. I'll just draw. I'll make up a more specific one.
Yeah, you need one in permanent marker.
Got it. Done.
For instance, an example of somebody who cannot be held liable for a crime is, quote, persons who committed the act or made the omission charged under an ignorance or mistake of fact which disproves any criminal intent. That certainly applies to Walter Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, it is clear that in attempting to commandeer the vehicles, defendant acted under a mistake of fact. He thought he was a secret government agent acting to protect his own life or possibly that of the president. Now, there is another instance where a person is deemed incapable of committing a crime. Quote, when a person commits an act based on a mistake of fact, his guilt or innocence is determined as if the facts were as he perceived them. So your reality can be somewhat part of the reasonable nature of the law.
That sounds a little loose, though. I could be like,
right?
Yeah.
So what this means is it was reasonable for him to steal cars to save the president. The court determined it was.
Uh-huh.
Quote, if in fact defendant were a government agent and either his life or the life of the president were in danger and defendant attempted to commandeer the vehicles for the purpose of saving his own life or that of the president, his actions would have been legally justified under the doctrine of necessity.
Hmm.
Also, the court added that, quote, although defendant's mistake of fact was undoubtedly irrational, it was also undoubtedly reasonable under the circumstances because the circumstances included that the mistake emanated from a delusion caused by defendant's involuntary intoxication resulting from unknowingly ingesting some unspecified hallucinogenic substance.
Got it.
Because he got dusted, it ain't his fault.
Good.
So, like, basically, it's like if you get temporarily brainwashed, you're not criminally liable because it wasn't you acting.
Sure.
This has also been kind of tested in some sleepwalker cases.
Mm.
Now, the summary for the court is, quote, we conclude that, therefore, even if the evidence is sufficient to support the trial court's findings that defendant intended to temporarily deprive the owners of the possession of their vehicles, defendant's actions clearly fall within the purview of Penal Code Section 26, Subdivision 3, and were therefore not criminal. Boom, Walter Scott, innocent, as Kanye would say. So what's our ridiculous takeaway here?
Well, PCP is a hell of a drug. I think that, you know, I'm just thinking that the people at the lumberyard to this day,
oh my God,
tell amazing stories.
They
about
still
that.
Get free drinks off that story.
Completely. And I think it's probably evolved over time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I like I said, I just keep focusing on how scary this must have been. I'm really glad that
James Blonde was able to survive.
James Blonde. I just it's before Point Break, but I just keep imagining like Swayze and the Reagan mask and the skydiving.
Keanu Reeves. I am an FBI agent.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what's in the,
it's a lot of that energy.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's the fact that according to California law, you can go on a mad crime spree and steal cars, carjack a forklift, shove children around. You can commander whatever vehicles you want or commandeer as long as you're on PCP. Like, that way, you know, if you're convinced you need to save the president, you're free because you're on PCP. So I'm going to go get some PCP and have a great weekend. No, but
that
for real,
good.
Like, do you remember Dianne Feinstein? She was involved in a very famous legal defense when Dan White killed George Moscone and Harvey Milk, Supervisor Milk.
He claimed the Twinkie defense.
Yeah, he said that basically he changed his diet and that the high-fat, high-sugar diet he was eating made him murderously depressed. Now, his legal strategy failed. He was convicted. But unlike the Twinkie defense, the PCP super spy defense, it worked. So, you know, just pick your poison. Now, if this all happened to me, I think we'd probably call this the Fast and Furious defense.
What, that you were under the influence of watching all
Fast
those
and Furious movies.
Okay, we'll just keep that in our pocket for
when
everything comes down.
I need to call my lawyer.
And then I'll write up a document for you with the
waiver. Oh, yeah, thank you. We'll get the permanent pen.
Yeah, we'll get the permanent pen. I'll get you a waiver. Oh, you know what that means.
What does that mean, Elizabeth?
That means we've got some listener mail here. Our email today comes to us from Kay.
What's up, Kay? Thanks for writing.
Kay, before I read this off, I will let you know I am going to redact personal information for everyone's sake.
It's fair.
Particularly Kay and her family. So she writes, "Hey, love the podcast. I have a little crime story. And by little, I mean little. In the 1970s, my grandpa was the head of a small town Republican organization. Little did anyone know there was a secret in the house. It was a big two-story house on the top of a hill. While this part of the state is heavily wooded, the property didn't have too many trees close to the house, so it was always pretty sunny. The attic had these big dormer windows, so it was more like a studio with an A-frame roof than the usual dark, stuffy attic. In fact, you could grow plants in there. My grandma did. She grew weed in the attic." Listen to her ratting grandma. "Why did grandma do it? She thought that if she and my grandpa got caught, the newspaper headline would be funny."
She grew pot intentionally to hoping to get caught and to embarrass the family.
Signed.
I love her.
Signed, Kay. P.S.
Kay, are we related?
P.S. My grandparents on that side being Republicans, they probably voted for drug smuggler Richard Nixon.
Oh, man.
The which drug is a reference to, if you listen to our crossover episode with Ridiculous History, Zarin tells us all about Richard Nixon.
Now, Louie, did you have some bags I could take into the country?
Known drug mule Richard Nixon. So yeah, that's from Kay. I love it. Thank you, Kay. She did us a true crime confession. So there we go.
That's our first
mailbag. All right.
Well, thanks for joining us, y'all. I'm Zarin Burnett.
And I'm Elizabeth Dutton.
You can find us online at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter and Instagram. If you got a tip for us about a ridiculous crime you'd like to hear about, hit us up. If you want to confess to a ridiculous crime, you can double hit us up. Email us at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com.
Goodbye.
Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett, produced and edited by the Imperial Majesty, Dave Kustin. Research is by the intrepid Marissa Brown. Our theme song is by Thomas Lee and Travis Dutton. Executive producers are Ben Bolin and Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Matcha!
I love matcha. So rich and smooth.
Do you love matcha love?
Yep. Matcha love is the best in the biz.
Experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf.
So many powerful health benefits.
You know what else I love? Sweet treats.
You are in luck. Matcha's great for baking.
Can you make cookies or cheesecake with matcha?
Yes. Or your other favorites, ice cream or madeleines.
Yes. Delicious.
Matcha love.
Get 25% off all matcha love products on itoin.com. Using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle.
So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.